Bruce Pascoe's book Dark Emu might have shifted the conversation about Australia's Indigenous history, but a new book throws doubt on most of its claims. Farmers or Hunter-Gatherers, The Dark Emu Debate is a new book that refutes the central ideas in Dark Emu, that Indigenous Australians practiced complex agriculture and lived in permanent houses and permanent communities thousands of years ago. The authors also reject Bruce Pascoe's view that Aboriginal economic life prior to colonisation was more sophisticated than what he calls, quote, a mere hunter-gatherer lifestyle. Instead, it says Indigenous Australians lived in a complex economic and spiritual society with a deep understanding of the land that should be respected. The authors are archaeologist Dr. Kerrin Walsh and social anthropologist Peter Sutton. Kerrin Walsh, Peter Sutton, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning.
Hi, Fran.
Dark Emu. Kerrin, let me start with you. Dark Emu has changed the narrative around Australia's Indigenous history. It's forced many of us to rethink what we knew or thought we knew about how Indigenous Australians lived before European colonisation. Why do you have such strong reservations and criticisms about the book?
Well, I think, as you said in your introduction, Fran, that the book Dark Emu suggests that hunter-gatherer life and economy was simple and primitive, a mere way of operating, which Peter and I reject wholeheartedly. It's simply not the case. Hunter-gatherers were very complex and their economy was extremely sophisticated.
The publisher, Magabala, has responded. It says Dark Emu has succeeded in stimulating an important discussion and debate in Australia, and Bruce Pascoe has presented an understanding of the wisdom and complexity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander society's knowledge and achievement. Do you agree with the fact that, the description of that, that Bruce Pascoe has presented an understanding of the wisdom and complexity of Aboriginal society's knowledge and achievement?
Well, Kerrin? I think Dark Emu certainly presents a view of Aboriginal society, but that is through the lens of European explorers, missionaries and others, as they very hastily made their way across the landscape. It's not based on the accounts given directly from the old people to field anthropologists such as Peter Sutton.
And Peter, as an anthropologist and someone who has worked with, as you described, the old people, the Indigenous Australians, elders, for many, many decades, is Dark Emu a misrepresentation of the facts, as it is by Bruce Pascoe's own description, based quite heavily on the journals of explorers?
Yes. Some people are saying, oh, well, we're just having a disagreement about the same facts.
Yeah.
If you read both books, you'll find that what are purported to be facts in Dark Emu are frequently found in our forensic testing to be non-facts, in fact, to be either at one extreme fantasy, at the other extreme simply mistakes or omissions. But Who would privilege the words of Thomas Mitchell, good explorer that he was for the British Empire, the man who was in the vanguard of the takeover and theft of Aboriginal country, whose bills were being paid by a colonial system that was really on the hunt for whatever looked like arable land, agricultural land. Remember, Britain was an agrarian society at that time, really. Of course, he was going to make special note of standing fields of grass and heaps of grass that had been pulled out in the process of gathering tubers like yams and so on. But yes, he was a blow through like all the others. He never learned an Aboriginal language. He didn't stop long enough to get to know anybody. I don't understand why any kind of privileged position was given to those records when the Aboriginal people themselves have been putting down on the permanent record, in their own words, frequently in audio, certainly since the 1950s, but going back well into the 19th century and earlier, their own knowledge.
Peter, let's go to, as you say, either fantasy, mistakes or omissions. What's wrong? Let's go to some of the key premises. What's wrong with the Bruce Pascoe's premise in Dark Emu that Aboriginals before arrival of white explorers were, you know, basically had a complex farming, agriculture society going and also lived in permanent dwellings? These are two of the main elements that he offers as proof of a more sophisticated, society. What's wrong with those? Are they wrong?
Yes, they're wrong and they're not based on fact. They're based on an attempt to assimilate the old people to us, you know, to the European dominant culture of this region. You could also, had we been Chinese, you could say it was an attempt to assimilate people to the Chinese agricultural society. Agricultural societies have only emerged in human history in the last 10 seconds, that is from 11,000 years ago. We've lived successfully most of our history as more anatomically modern humans, as complex hunter-gatherers. That doesn't mean we didn't modify the environment. Of course, the use of fire has been well known for a long time. In fact, the public statements on that incredible use of fire by Aboriginal people to modify their environments was made in the late 1950s by Norman Tyndale and followed up by Rhys Jones and others, especially Sylvia Hallam. So there is no lack of scholarship, no lack of record, no lack of archaeology on the fact that people were mobile but semi-sedentary. That is, they would stop for a period in the desert, maybe for a few days, but in the wet season in the north of Australia, they would stop for maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months in the wet season, but then they would become mobile again, using all of their country, not just using one tiny area of it. But once you have agriculture, you have to stay put. You've got to look after your crops. You've got to weed them. You've got to keep animals out of them. Hence the association between permanent villages in Mesopotamia or New Zealand with Maori people who are gardeners and were seen clearly to be gardeners on Banks's first contact with them in 1769. No such reports came out of Australia. Now, if people had been gardening here, anyone with half a brain would have noticed it all over the place.
So, Karen, the issue that you seem to have most concern about is that the privileging Bruce Pascoe gives to the notion of agricultural and permanent settlement as superior. You say throughout Dark Emu, Pascoe puts a high value on technological and economic complexity as a standard of people's worth, and then sets out examples of these complexities, and that at the same time he appears to use words like mere or primitive when he's describing the hunter-gatherer society. So what's your concern here?
Well, I guess for one thing, and it certainly reflects what Peter has been saying, that hunter-gatherer life is debased in terms of an agricultural pursuit. And this is certainly not the case. There is no credible evidence for that whatsoever. Hunter-gathering as a way of life is extremely complex and sophisticated. It's a highly attuned response to local ecologies and the environment on your country. Also, as Peter was describing, because people were mobile, they understood the whole of their country, each different environmental unit, as we would call it in European terms, and that highly attuned response was also a reciprocal one. It wasn't just about ravaging the land and taking what you wanted as you wanted it. It was about looking after the land through spiritual propagation. So in order to get the resources that you required. So this is a highly attuned response, and it's also one that is highly sustainable. It has a very light footprint because you are mobile. It allows the land to replenish behind you as you move on.
And Peter, in the book, I think you used the term, I may not have this exactly right, I'm searching for it as we speak, but a complex hunters and gatherers. What do you mean by that?
There probably have never been any simple hunters and gatherers since we turned into modern humans. Of course, it's hard to tell because it's so distant in the past and it's back in Africa. But farmers need to know at least about their crop species. Maybe that's three, four, five kinds of millet and wheat or something like that, or in Asia, I think millet again, and rice. And sorghum, perhaps in some places, and so on. Taro, in the case of Pacific Islanders, very important basic food staple, among others. You have to understand those, maybe four or five. But on top of that, the rest is perhaps not really necessary. If you're actually living off the land as a hunter-gatherer, and I have lived with people who were brought up in that old world beyond the reach of the British Empire, 40 or 50 years ago, there were plenty of people around in Western Cape York Peninsula and Arnhem Land and Central Australia who had in fact come into missions as children or as adults, men and women. They had lived off the land. Not a single one of them ever mentioned gardens or farming, by the way. They had to understand dozens and dozens and dozens of plants and their uses, their toxicity, their ability to be used medicinally, and what seasons they appeared and what coincided with them in other parts of the biota, like oysters appearing when a certain wattle flower is in bloom, for example, or oysters maturing. So that is complex knowledge. It's biological knowledge. And together with it, we can't leave this as a kind of a material domain. Together with it is a totally saturating spiritual view of the whole thing, which is the dreaming.
Okay.
Now, that's not vague and fuzzy. That's a specific way of propagating each species by conducting the right rituals and speaking to the right spirits.
So you paint there a picture of a, you know, complex, developed intellectual and spiritual capacity and geographical capacity. Bruce Pascoe paints a picture of a complex and developed society, which is different to yours, which you say he's got it wrong. It's littered with unsourced material and he's made mistakes and omissions. But why does that matter if, as the publisher would say, what Bruce Pascoe's book has done is promoted, stimulated a discussion about the wisdom and complexity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander societies? Why it matters.
Well, it is an irony that such a bad book has created such a lot of positive interest and the goodwill that was the basis of its printing success of 260,000 copies, I understand. We hope that goodwill continues and expands and that people's curiosity is not turned into ideology. We don't ask you to believe us and not believe Pascoe. What we ask you is to compare the pair. Make your own mind up, be independent, keep learning and don't stop learning. This is the history of this continent, which is, in human terms, around about 55,000 years of history, of which the post-British colonial period is a mere flicker of an eyelid. So if you actually care about your country and its history and where it's come from to here, I think you have to have an interest in these subjects. They're not easy. They require work. You have to get off your backside and go and do some study, a lot of study. You have to learn to read books if all of your reading up till now has been tweets and Who magazine. Sorry to be a snob, but I am. It's very important that people treat Aboriginal history with the respect that it deserves.
This book has won many prizes. It's on the school curriculum. There's a children's version of the book. Kerrin Walsh, should it be in our schools?
I think we need the truth in our education systems, no matter what level that is, primary, secondary or tertiary, and also for the curious older people out there. We do need the truth. And for Aboriginal people, it is so important that the truth always comes through about their lived experience, whether that's the past or the present.
Peter Sutton, Kerrin Walsh, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Kerrin Walsh and Peter Sutton, esteemed academics, both of them, very experienced. Dr. Kerrin Walsh is an archaeologist. Peter Sutton is a social anthropologist. They're the authors of this book, Farmers or Hunter-Gatherers, The Dark Emu Debate. As I mentioned, the publisher of Dark Emu Mugabala is standing by the book. Its chairperson, Tony Lee, says the book stimulated an important discussion and debate, and Bruce Pascoe represents the wisdom and complexity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander societies, knowledge and achievements. And he says Mugabala Books is proud to have published Dark Emu, which, as I says, has won so many over the 7 years since it's been published, so many literary prizes. One of you has written in suggesting I'm questioning why scholarship matters. That's not what I'm doing at all. I'm just wanting to get to their understanding of why 7 years on they thought it was important to publish this book, this critique of Dark Emu. And the answer, obviously, is that in their view, truth always matters. It's hard to argue with that.